Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello and welcome to this week's News Desk with me, Chris Stafford, alongside Nancy Gillen, as always. Friends and rivals this coming week, Nancy, but before we get started, we are recording on October the 3rd, and this is Season 4, Episode 38 of the News Desk, which you can download. You can actually do two things. You can download the Wisp Sports podcast, because all our shows are on the main channel. And you can also, if you just want to subscribe to the News Desk, then go ahead and subscribe to Wisp Sports News Desk on your podcast app. Nancy, we talked about this every time, you know, the upcoming England versus USA friendly, capital letters, please. This is going to be friendly match that's happening to a sold out crowd at Wembley this coming Friday, October 7th. Now, we're going to preview this shortly, but we just said before we started recording how you can't get sick. You've got tickets to this, so don't catch a cold or anything, Nancy, and not be there.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely, even if I did catch a cold, I think I'd still go. It's such a big occasion. I'm really looking forward to it. So, yeah, I'll be there no matter what.
All right. Well, we've got a lot of football, which actually we're going to start off with a roundup of the football news for this week before we get on to the rest of the women's sports news from around the world. Don't forget, you can find the show notes, as always, at wispsports.com, and you can follow us on social media at wispsports, and Nancy will give you all her social media handles and where you can find her at the end of the show. So football is where I know you always like to start. A brief mention of the Continental Cup then, because we're going to talk about the Champions League, we're going to talk about the NWSL playoffs, and that upcoming friendly of the England playing the USA on Friday. So let's begin there with the Continental Cup, which is something that you guys play, but we don't play over here.
Yeah, so it's essentially a league cup. So it features the top two tiers of women's football here, so the Championship and the Women's Super League. It's a bit of a weirdly formatted competition. So there's like a group stage and then it goes into knockouts. And it's also any team that's in the Champions League. So on this occasion, Chelsea and Arsenal don't compete in the group stage of the Conti Cup, and then they go into the knockout stages. So it's all a bit strange, but yeah, so it's international break and no WSL. The weekend just gone, but we did have these Conti Cup matches, and there were some interesting results. So Aston Villa and Man U played, and they actually drew, and it went to a penalty shootout, and Aston Villa won 4-3 on penalties. So that's continuing their really, really good season so far. They're unbeaten this season in both the WSL and Conti Cup, and then Tottenham got a 2-1 victory over Reading as well. So yeah, some interesting results there. Another really interesting one was Birmingham City beating Brighton 3-2. Birmingham being a Championship team and Brighton being a WSL team. But like I said, with the Champions League teams not being included in that, the kind of your Arsenal and Chelsea's were both missing from that competition and weren't playing this weekend. But they did today have the Champions League draw to look forward to, where they were put into the groups for the group stages of the tournament. I don't know if you managed to see it, Chris, but some really, really... I think there's three groups in particular that are very tough, and Arsenal and Chelsea are in two of them. So we've got Group A with Chelsea in. They are going to be playing last year's semi-finalists PSG, Real Madrid, and the last one is an Albanian team. I can't remember. It's like Vlasnia. I'm not sure if the pronunciation of that is right. Then Arsenal in Group C with Lyon, the eight-time winners of the Champions League, Juventus and Zurich. And then I think another really tough group is Group D, which is Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Rosengard and Benfica. And then the last remaining group is Wolfsburg, Slavia Prague, St. Poulton and Roma. So the group stage games start from the 19th of October and run until the 22nd of December. The exact fixture dates for that hasn't been released yet. But yeah, I think from the perspective of Chelsea and Arsenal, that's, you know, you're always going to be playing really big teams in the Champions League, particularly the likes of Barcelona, Lyon, PSG. But I think both clubs there were quite unlucky with the teams they got in, you know, the lower down ones, the ones that were kind of the third seeds in the pot. So teams such as Juventus and Real Madrid, I think, are the stronger of the weaker teams, and Chelsea and Arsenal drew them. So I think there's some really, really interesting fixtures that are going to be coming up in the next few months. But for both sides, that's looking to be a really tricky group stage.
Yeah, it certainly is. And you mentioned there that the group stage games are going to be played between 19th of October and December 22nd. Then why is the final so far off? It's in the Netherlands in June. Why is there such a... I mean, is it just the season scheduling? It just seems a long time before they wait for that final.
Yeah, well, because there's also other knockout stages as well. So there'd be the quarterfinals and semifinals. So that will be, I think, probably quarterfinals will be like February time, and then the semifinals in April, and then yeah, the final in later in the season. It does seem to be quite far out, but it's because as well the knockouts are two legs each. So then you play two matches in the knockout stages for each bit, so two in the quarterfinals, two in the semifinals. So I guess just with the calendar fitting in those matches, it does kind of stretch out until the end of the season.
Yeah, it certainly does. All right, well, we'll follow that. And I know you'll be concerned about your team, Arsenal, especially in that group stage with Lyon, Juventus and Zurich. That's a tough one for them.
Yeah, it's a really tough one. I think Lyon in particular, I think a lot of fans would be surprised if we got any points from them. I think Juventus, it is possible. It's interesting fixture there because the Juventus manager, Joe Montemuro, is Arsenal's former manager. So he left from Arsenal to Juventus last year. So that's quite an interesting matchup. I think Zurich, you'd be hoping that Arsenal could get points from them, but still obviously a really tough team, and they've been in the Champions League, competing in the Champions League for, you know, over 10 years. So it's, yeah, a really, really tough one. But at the same time, if you want to, you know, be the best, you have to play the best. And if anything, it would be a really good learning experience.
Well, that's one way to look at it, being World Cup year as well. They're going to have to bring their A game for a long season. It will be a long season for them, won't it?
It will be, yeah. I think a lot of matches being played, and obviously then got the Women's World Cup next summer as well. So it's a lot of games.
A lot to look forward to. Okay, we're going to hop over to this side of the pond now, because of course it's coming to the end of our season now, and we're coming to the NWSL playoffs. And Nancy, you've taken a look at that group, very interesting grouping that gets to play their quarterfinal on October 16th. So that'll be the seeds 4 and 5. You've looked at those teams, Nancy. Any surprises there for you?
I don't think. Sorry, I missed that.
For the NWSL playoffs.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Any surprises? I don't. To be honest, I haven't been able to watch too much of the league, so I wasn't not too sure fully if how the season was progressing. I did know that it was incredibly tight. I don't think I was surprised to see OL Reign win the over, you know, top of the table, given that they have such a strong team. I think it's great to see San Diego Wave in there as well, personally, just from an expansion team with Casey Stoney in charge of that as well. So yeah, I'm quite impressed with them.
Yes, that is very impressive the way they've gone this season, as you say, for a brand new team. Of course, they've got some great players as well. But just to fast forward, for the final of that, the final of the NWSL Championship will be in Washington, D.C. at the Audi Field at one of the Washington Spirits venues. Not sure I'm going to be going there because, you know, one of the problems going to the Audi Field, Nancy, I don't know if I've mentioned this to you, not only were the tickets very expensive for the international friendlies that we paid against Nigeria when we had a game there, do you remember? Not only were they expensive, but the problem is I suffer from heights really badly, as you will know now, and those bleachers are so steep. And gosh, so high that I couldn't be going up there into the ear-popping section. It would be too high, too steep for me. So I would probably have to pay more to come.
To be further down.
Yeah.
Gosh. Yeah. Well, I advise you never to go to Barcelona's Camp Nou because that is the most vertigo inducing stadium out there.
Is it really?
Yeah, incredibly steep.
Yeah, I probably won't be going there then, unless I'm at pitch level. Yeah. You went out there. You went out to Barcelona, didn't you?
Yeah, for the Champions League last year, so for the quarterfinals against Real Madrid. So I know that Barcelona are playing all their home games at Camp Nou for the group stage as well, so might maybe look into going to one of those again. I'm sure they have a really good crowd come out for that as well, so that should be great.
Yeah. Well, just again, those quarterfinals for the playoffs over here, the NWSL, October 16th, and they're going to be on Paramount Plus and also on the CBS Sports Network. And the semifinals, they'll be on the CBS Sports Network, and then the final two will be on CBS Sports Network. But all those games will be on Twitch for international viewers. So Twitch NWSL Official 2 would be the channel. Do you watch football on Twitch, Nancy?
I don't know. I think it's mainly the NWSL that is shown on it, and the time difference has always made that a bit tricky to watch. But no, I never have. But I know it is a really it's a platform specific, especially for the NWSL. It's really accessible to watch the women's games on there. So if ever I was going to watch it, I would definitely give it a go. But yeah, haven't had a try yet.
Yeah, you can subscribe to any of those, and it does make it available internationally. But yeah, I sometimes watch, especially if it's not on a network channel like CBS or Fox or ESPN, then Twitch is the place to go to. All right. Well, we're going to come to that preview that we mentioned about the England-USA friendly that's going to take place at Wembley Stadium this Friday afternoon Eastern time. And sold out crowd, sold out within, 24 hours, wasn't it, Nancy? I mean, after the Lionesses won the Euros, that was very smart marketing from the Lionesses to go and promote that right away, put those tickets on sale right away. It just shows they caught the wave. And that's going to be a game to look forward to. Although we have to remember it's a friendly. Because we, and I'm sure, England too, thinking ahead to the World Cup next year. So this is the team that the coaches are working to gel to prepare for what is going to be a big season next year, Nancy. So that's really what it's all about. So we need to play the best teams in the world.
Yeah, I mean, it's so exciting, I think, I think friendly won't describe it. I just think, like you said, it's two of the best teams in the world at the moment, the current world champions and the current European champions. But also beyond that, I do think there is that extended rivalry. You know, that there's been a lot of interesting fixtures between these two countries in the past. I think obviously women's football is massive in the US, and I think the US has done a lot to progress the women's game. And I think England have kind of, despite the fact that it's, England has such a love for football and it's such a tradition here, England has always been playing catch up in terms of women's football. So I think that rivalry has kind of grown from that. Yeah, and I think I don't think friendly is going to describe it. I think the probably majority England fans in that sold out Wembley are going to be, you know, absolutely not hysterical. That's the wrong word, but so excited, you know, making so much noise. I think because it's, yeah, a lot of excitement to watch that match and then see how it turns out.
Yeah, I think hysteria probably would be a way to...
I mean, I'm probably going to be slightly hysterical, yeah.
Well, we should mention that there are two players that are going to be missing from both teams, one player from each team that are going to be missed for different reasons, because they're both very, very exciting players to watch. And that's Alex Morgan, the US player, and the Lionesses' Alessio Russo. Both got small injuries that they don't want to risk, Nancy. But I want to give a shout out to Alex, too, that because she's just been named for the NWSL's gold, winning the Golden Boot with 15 goals this season. And Sophia Smith very closely behind her on 14. But Alex has had a wonderful season. So I did notice that Vlatko Andonovski, the US coach, said that if this had been a World Cup trip, Alex would have been on it. So the injury is not too severe. And I understand Alessia's is not too serious either.
Yeah, I think it's been called a small injury. It did cause her to miss Man United's Conti Cup game. But I think the timing of the announcement suggests that maybe they were waiting to see whether she could be fit in time for Friday. And that kind of proximity to Friday suggests that, you know, it's an injury that she can recover from in days and, you know, maybe a couple of weeks as opposed to being out for a long time. I think Russo definitely is a big loss for England, especially because of Ellen White retiring. I don't think, you know, that starting striker spot is now kind of wide open. But there's a few people that could fit in there. I'd be personally really interested to see Rachel Daly, who traditionally for England has played as a defender, but over in the NWSL played as a striker, and she has actually scored 3 goals so far in the WSL playing as a striker for Aston Villa. I'd be really interested to see her go up front for England in that match against the US. Not sure if Serena will go with that, but
she
still
has mentioned she wants her to, though, hasn't she, Serena?
She suggested it could be a possibility. Yeah, so yeah. I think that would be really interesting. Ebony Salmon as well, who is scoring for fun for Houston Dash. Lauren James is playing for Chelsea. Beth Mead as a striker, as that central striker. So we've got lots of options, and in a way, obviously, it's sad to see Russo injured and missing out on such a great occasion. But at the same time, it will be really interesting to see different players come in and kind of see a different approach to it. Hopefully we'll see Russo back soon because she's a great player, but I'm confident that we have a strong enough squad to that her absence won't be too missed too much.
No, and on our side, we've got some new faces, including Alicia Thompson, who has been with the U17 Total Football Academy in San Diego. She's making her debut. So that's really, really exciting. We've got two new faces on the squad this year for this team, and some faces that I think you're not so familiar with. Sam Coffey might be one of those, the midfielders. Savannah DeMille from Racing Louisville, she's making her debut.
Yeah, there are so many players really that I'm not familiar with, which is quite. I think for the US team, I'm normally familiar with the majority. And of course, there are the names that I have been around for a while and I'm familiar with. But it seems to be a really kind of new, fresh squad. I don't watch NWSL too much. And also, I don't think the US have really been playing over here in Europe or on the world stage, so that I've been able to see that, you know, the US is evolving squad. So I think particularly in defence, I think Emily Fox, Naomi Germer, Hayley Mace, there's a few names that I'm not too familiar with. But again, that makes it exciting because it's, yeah, excited to see these new players. And just kind of have some new players come into, you know, the the, you know, football I engage with and stuff and learn about some new talent. So yeah, I'm very interested to see how the two teams match up.
Yeah, and you mentioned that Emily Fox, who's now with Racing Louisville, she's been on the squad for a few times now, but she's kind of, I think, sort of taken over from Tiana Davidson, you know, who plays for Chicago Red Stars. She's been out with injury. I think it was her ACL. And it looks like, you know, a season-ending injury now. I haven't seen anything more of her. I really miss her. I really like her on the pitch. But I think Emily seems, she also does a great job. I really like Emily. I think a mixture of this young blood and some of the veterans, dare I say. I mean, if you look at our forward lineup, we've got two Washington Spirit players there, Ashley Hatch and Trinity Rodman. Both very, very exciting to watch. And Mal Pugh, of course, Megan Rapinoe's still in there because she's had a great season. And then Sophia Smith, you know, watch out for Sophia Smith. Any one of those, but Sophia and Trinity are really dangerous, and Ashley Hatch too. I think, you know, it's an interesting lineup, and you know, you've got a lot of good players, we've got a lot of good players, so I wouldn't like to say where this is going to go. I know I can't lose dual citizen, but the way England, those Lionesses have come up and obviously grown with the Euros tremendously and are riding on the success of winning those Euros. And then, you know, we've got a lot of excitement going on with our squad too. I don't know if I can put any money on any of this. Oh, I should have mentioned the defender, Crystal Dunn. You know, she's been with the team for so long. I can't remember how many caps Crystal said. She just had a baby and she's back on the squad. So that's really exciting. Shouldn't forget her. Would you like to put any money on anybody on the winner?
Not money. Definitely not money. I've got to back England, of course. I've got to back England. And I will say this is the most confident I have gone into an England-US matchup of England winning, but that still doesn't say that much because England have always been off the pace of the US and the US have been the best team in the world. You know, I think England are now just a lot better. They're a much better team and we've got a much better manager. So that is kind of mainly why I'm more confident. Yeah. Obviously with the US, you never know. And there is that degree of the unknown of these players that I'm not too sure of that I haven't watched yet. So it's kind of hard to make that judgment because I could be underestimating the US, and that is a dangerous thing to do. So, yeah, I wouldn't put money on it, but it's the most confident I felt of England, and of course I'm going to back them.
Yeah, of course you're going to back them, but I don't see you putting any dollars down or pounds down.
No, I'm too safe with my money.
I did forget to mention that just last week, Taylor Korniak, who plays with San Diego Wave, she's a midfielder for the squad, and she's had to pull out with an injury, which I really said I really like Taylor. And so she used to be with the Orlando Pride. Very, very strong midfielder, but hopefully that's minor. But yes, she was withdrawn from the squad. So we will see. I know that our US team, they arrived in England well wrapped up and expecting the worst of the English weather. But hopefully it'll be good. But do you know what the forecast is for Friday, Nancy?
You know what? It's meant to be really nice. I think you told me that about them arriving wrapped up, and I was really surprised because genuinely we're having it's not the temperature that you'd expect at this time of year. I think it's been about 18, 19 Celsius. I think Friday is expected to be, yeah, in the teens, not raining. I don't think they can use the weather as an excuse if they do lose.
Okay, fair enough. All right, well, we will look forward to bringing you a wrap-up of that. It'll be a very exciting conversation. I'm looking forward to that on next week's show as we look back at that friendly. And then I should point out that both England and the US have some more friendlies to play. We in the US are going to play Spain. And Nancy, where are you going?
We are going to the Czech Republic play. Yeah, so another friendly match against the Czech Republic on the 11th.
Okay. All right. Well, that's all our football for this week.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Let's move on then, Nancy, to some motor racing. And a face and a familiar name on the show here, of course, is Jamie Chadwick, the British driver in that W Series, making news and making headlines in for all the wrong reasons this week.
Yeah, I really didn't think this is what we were going to be talking about when it came to the W Series segment. As we spoke about last week, Jamie Chadwick was just one result away from winning the W Series, and she over in the Singapore GP, she struggled in qualifying and started on the grid in eighth for the main race. So she needed to finish ahead of Betsy Visser, Alice Powell, and Abby Pulling. So it said she needed to overtake them all in this race. Jumped two places on the opening lap, but then was kind of held back and then lost patience in the closing stages in the race, attempted to overtake Jessica Hawkins at turn seven and crashed. So she essentially had to withdraw from the race with Betsy Visser winning instead. So, yeah, for now, Chadwick's title party is on hold, I think, until the next race. I think she still is quite certain to win. She's just got to win one of the next two races, and so later this month in Austin is the next event. So if she gets a win there, the title is back in her hands. But yeah, I think it was a bit more dramatic than people expected. I think people thought that Chadwick would win and she'd win the title, but instead there was quite a lot of drama.
Yeah, I mean, really, really surprising. That's a Dutch driver, isn't it, Betsy Visser? She's Dutch.
She is, yeah. So I think a lot of the top W Series drivers are actually British. It seems to be quite dominated by British drivers, so it's nice to have a bit of different countries fighting it out.
She's breaking them up a little bit here, but yeah, very surprising. So where do they go next then, Nancy? What's the next race?
So they're off to Austin in the US. There is a bit of kind of uncertainty about just the rest of the W Series season, which I know sounds a bit crazy, but I think the Telegraph wrote a story last week about the financial difficulties that the W Series are facing. So a contract with an investor recently fell through, leaving the series with a cash shortfall. And apparently they owe a few kind of creditors and stuff, and people that have worked on the competition money. And then as well, for those who also know about, have been following the wider news outside of sport, the pound has weakened massively against the dollar. So because the next event is in the US, they budgeted for, you know, a certain amount against the US dollar last year, and the pound has obviously crashed since then, which means everything is they didn't pay enough basically for what they're getting now. But yeah, the W Series chief executive officer, Catherine Bonmuir, has said she's still confident that the W Series can overcome its financial difficulties and hold the final two events. So that's the one in Austin on October 21st and 22nd, and then the concluding event in Mexico City on the 28th and 30th of October. But yeah, there's still question marks hanging over that. And it is a shame. I think Bonmuir does make the point that it is kind of what happens in women's sport. There are those financial barriers, especially with an expensive sport such as motorsport. And yeah, she's confident that as the audience for W Series grows, the sponsorship money will increase too. But yeah, kind of a bit concerning there, and question marks being raised over, the conclusion of the season. And I think a lot of people thought Chadwick would win, and that maybe if they did have to pull the season because of finances, it would be okay because the winner would have been crowned. But maybe now with Chadwick not winning, that's made things even more difficult.
Yes. Yeah, that'll be interesting to see that, how that unfolds. You mentioned the weakening of the pound there against the dollar. I think it's like 1-1 now with change. I mean, it's really, really, really plummeted. But I do see that your new prime minister has backtracked on the tax cut policy that proved so unpopular last week. It caused her quite a bit of bad press, shall we say. So hopefully there might be a little bit of change and turn that around to strengthen the pound again with that news. So we'll see. But yeah, it doesn't look very good. Hopefully, we can hang on to that series, because it did get quite a lot of publicity, Nancy, didn't it? I mean, it certainly came to our attention. We were following it throughout the season. So we're on the third season now.
Yeah, and it has, it does genuinely have, the elite of female motorsport. It is the best in women's motorsport racing, which is in this event. Yeah, it would be a real shame if it crashed. And like you said, it has attracted, it's on Sky Sports. It has got good sponsorship. There's big people getting involved in it. So it would be a real shame if it all crashed. And hopefully she's right in that as the audience grows, so does the investment into it.
Yeah. All right, well, we're going to move on to tennis now. Some tennis news about Iga Świątek, world number one, of course. She's now criticising the schedule of the Billie Jean King Cup finals and will not be playing those. They're taking place in Glasgow. Nancy, so she was going to play and then she changed her mind because of the scheduling?
I think she definitely wanted to compete in the Billie Jean King Cup final. I think especially because that's the national competition, so she'd be representing Poland there. So I imagine she would have really wanted to have done that. But the WTA finals, which of course she'll be competing in as the world number one, they run from 31st of October to the 7th of November. And the Billie Jean King Cup finals start on the 8th of November. So with if Świątek to go far at the WTA finals, which are in Texas, she would literally have a 15-hour journey in one day and then start playing at the Billie Jean King Cup final. So it does seem it's a very, very hard schedule. That's really, quite difficult to fit in. Świątek has kind of been quite critical at the scheduling. She said she's sad that she won't be able to play for Poland at the Billie Jean King Cup finals. And she said that she's disappointed that tennis governing bodies don't come to an agreement on something as basic as the calendar of tournaments, giving us only one day to travel through the globe and changing time zone. The situation is not safe for our health and could cause injury. And then she promised to talk to the WTA and ITF in order to change something. I think it is a kind of quite a good point. I think particularly because, especially in that period of time, it's the end of the season, there isn't too much happening. And potentially, the Billie Jean King Cup could have been a little further back in November I imagine there's maybe a few players that are competing at the WTA finals that want to compete at the Billie Jean King Cup. So, yeah, you would have thought that maybe the WTA and ITF would have worked a bit closer together with that. But I guess it's good that Świątek is speaking out about it, and hopefully the such close, tight scheduling won't happen again.
No, and now she will play in the WTA finals, which, as you said, take place in Fort Worth, Texas, at the end of October. And that's where the top eight players would compete in a round-robin format. And that's quite significant, too. I mean, they do like to go to that WTA. It's kind of, the season roundup tournament for them. So, yeah, we'll see what happens there in Fort Worth, Texas. Okay, we're going to move on now to basketball. You've got some basketball news, news but not news in a way. I mean, the USA is used to winning. This is their fourth straight gold at the FIBA Women's Basketball World Cup. But we know we've had, again, but like football, some changing faces, right? Some of the top names have retired. So the question was, could the USA, could that new look team hold on to the title that it is in the habit of winning and has done so for the for four straight years?
Yeah, so like you said, I think it was kind of a bit of a new look team. So Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi in particular. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if I pronounced her surname right there.
Yeah, you're good.
Oh, cool. Yeah, so they've both retired. Of course, Brittany Griner as well, who's still in a horrendous situation in Russia, wasn't there.
And we haven't heard, we should mention Nancy, mention in her name, we haven't heard any news of her. So I don't know if there's some, you know, background negotiations going on here because things have gone very quiet with regards to Brittany Griner's detention in Russia.
Yeah, and I don't know, in this situation at the moment, maybe no news is good news. Just because, like you said, if there are kind of any negotiations or manoeuvres going on, the kind of silence in the media and stuff might be, you know, on purpose, or the, you know, the lack of politicians and stuff talking about it, there might be a reason for it. So, you know, where we were before when they were trying to arrange like a prisoner swap, maybe they're making headway with that. I think you have to hope for the best. Because it is really when you have competitions like the Basketball World Cup and you know, the player is missing and it's kind of like, oh, why are they missing? And you remember the horrible situation that they're in. It really does kind of make it, you know, give that reality to it. So, yeah, hopefully we will have a very positive update about Griner soon.
Yeah, but meanwhile, in Sydney, in front of that crowd, where the crowd were mainly behind Team China, who the US eventually beat.
Yeah, I think they maybe were going for the underdog there because, yeah, it was the Team USA's fourth consecutive World Cup title and 11th overall. So I think it would be fair to say that China were the underdogs there. But they, yeah, beat China 83-61. So in the end, a pretty comprehensive victory, really. And through winning that the World Cup, they've also qualified for the 2024 Olympics in Paris. So, yeah, I think, you know, they showed that without all these, you know, some of their kind of veteran players, that they were still absolutely fine. And they've still got such big names, you know, people like Breanna Stewart and Kelsey Plum and so on. So, yeah, I guess congrats to the US for winning yet another gold medal.
Yet another, and let's not forget to mention that there were almost 16,000 fans there at the Sydney Superdome. So that, you know, that was a nice crowd too. And basketball, of course, is very popular in Australia too. But they didn't, you know, considering they didn't have their home team, that was still a good crowd for them. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with the U.S. Basketball right now. I think they're in a healthy position as they start to prepare for Paris in 2 years. I mean, it's just coming around. Paris and the Olympics, it's going to be on the tip of our tongue, I think, come the new year, Nancy, because then we really start to count down with all these different sports qualifying now for Paris.
Yeah, I mean, it really is crazy that it's kind of less than 2 years, really. So it's exciting times to see teams qualifying for the games, and yeah, the countdown is really on.
It certainly is. All right, well, I think that just about wraps it up for this week. Remind everybody how they can find you on social media, Nancy.
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter at Nancy_Gillen, and on Instagram at Nancy_Gillen_sports. And then, yeah, everything I write is on Gimme Sport Women, and our Twitter handle is at Gimme Sport W.
All right. And of course, we are at wisports.com and at wisports on social media. So now, Nancy, you're running again. You're preparing for your half marathon in January, right? That's the plan?
That is correct. Yeah. So potentially Seville half marathon in January. I think that's what I'm aiming for. Hopefully get it confirmed soon. Yeah, I was looking for a midwinter race, so that should be really good and hopefully keep me motivated in October, November, December, which is sometimes quite hard to stay motivated in when it's cold and dark outside. But that should keep me going.
Should keep you inspired. Yeah, exactly. It is challenging. I know I'm on the bike, of course, as much as I can be. But the weather's turned around this week, and it's certainly a lot chillier. But my goal is for a spring ride to do the Empire State Trail from Buffalo in upstate New York down to Manhattan, 750 miles. I'm looking like doing that in the spring, because now Marcy Cornegan, my adventure partner, is strongly hinting that we're going to be camping this one, Nancy. So I think we'll wait for the snow to be over as we do that. It'll take a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you need some nice sunny weather for that, maybe.
We do. Well, I hope you have some nice weather in Wembley on Friday, and I look forward to talking to you about it, maybe sharing a few texts during and after. But watch out for my two forward favourites, Trinity Rodman and Sophia Smith, and Ashley Hatch. But Trinity and Sophia, just watch out.
I will.
Don't get too cocky. Just watch out.
Yeah, I mean, the US attack is very talented, so I definitely won't be getting too cocky about that.
All right, but enjoy. I know you will. I envy you, but I will be there in spirit, and I'll be watching on TV. I think it's on Fox Sport 1 at that game this Friday. So until next week, thanks, Nancy. Always good to catch up and share the news with you.
Yeah, thank you for having me. So hopefully this time next week we'll be talking about an England win against the US.
Yeah, or a USA win. All right. Whatever your sport is, I hope you're enjoying it. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks for listening.
Buenos dias, world, from the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. I'm Marco Wendt.
And I'm Rick Schwartz. And we're your hosts for Season 3 of Amazing Wildlife, a show from iHeartRadio Ruby Studio and the global conservation organization behind the San Diego Zoo and the San Diego Zoo Safari Park.
Listen as we dive into the efforts here in San Diego and spotlight the heroes working worldwide to care for the species you know and love.
Listen to Amazing Wildlife on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.